All right.
Good afternoon, Dave. Welcome to week four of NFL.
Hello, listeners. Hey, Joe.
I would say good start so far in the NFL, week four. Lots of injuries to key players.
Always.
We got some undefeated teams that I don't think we'd ever guess would be undefeated at this point of the season.
And some quarterbacks playing that we never thought we would see.
Again.
Like Darnold, just to bring up one.
Yeah, there was, I think every week it looks like we're getting more and more injuries hitting certain teams.
Yeah, I would say, and big injuries, like, you know, some guys you'll never hear about because, you know, they might play on the offensive line and no one talks about them, but significant big stars are getting injured every week, which does put a damper on the game, but we all know it's part of the game.
Yeah, it is part of the game, but we're also seeing a lot of, seems to me lately, some of these games have been quick, like pulling players off quick, especially on the concussion piece, like they're coming off right away.
Yeah. And I mean, that could be a lot to do with, like, you know, the whole Tua stuff and how it puts a real black eye on the league. And they're just trying to protect players, which I get.
Yeah.
And man, you look at some of the people that are coming out in the news, like Favre and Parkinson's and Tommy Kramer, the old Minnesota quarterback who says he's got dementia. I know he's a lot older, but you got to wonder, you know, the sport itself and how it impacts with the head injuries and the, all the CTE stuff. And, you know, even Eric Lindros coming out talking about Tua and saying, you know, us being Canadian boys, we got to talk a little bit about hockey. But Eric Lindros, who became susceptible to, you know, the concussions later in his life, and everyone knows about the Stevens hit on him, which ended his career. And he came out and said, you know what, if you want to have a normal life and, you know, it's sometimes you just got to walk away. And I don't think Tua's going to walk away.
No, I think, I think that's tough when you, like, I'm not a star athlete by all means, but
you're pretty good, Joe.
No, thanks, man. But it's all these guys know, right? And they think about it, like, in any sport, but let's just say football, because obviously we're talking about football. Yep. These guys have been playing football since, what, like, Tyke, most of them, right? Yep. Running around out there, playing tackle football, you know, they're not really sure what they're doing, but they're having tons of fun.
Yeah, they love the game.
Right, and they go all through high school, they go all through university, they finally make it, you know, they get that big, big pay, they make the team. Even if they're, you know, yes, you could talk about QB1s, but any player, right? You know, you make the defensive line, you make the special teams, it doesn't matter, you've made it.
Yeah, I mean, they dream of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a childhood dream. It was mine, too.
Yeah. It can't be easy to say, okay, I quit. There's no way. Like,
no.
And if you look at it today in the media, everybody's saying, you know, oh, Tua should retire, Tua should retire, Tua should retire. But
it's easy for people
to say. It's easy for people to say that. Like, I think he should retire, obviously. I mean, people's health is first, but...
Yeah. But I mean...
I don't see that easy of a decision for these athletes. There's no way.
It definitely, it is an individual decision, but also you just wonder who's, you know, what kind of influences are on him to stay in the game, what kind of influences are in his life to say, you know, leave the game, you know, so who is he listening to and is he listening to anybody, you know what I mean? Because obviously, you know, the big contract that he signed and, you know, he just wants to prove his, you know, he just wants to bring a championship home to the Dolphins, you know?
He just wants to play. I think he just wants to play.
And he is a good, seems like a good leader, and he's growing substantially in that role. You know what I mean? So it is tough to see.
Yeah. And I think, but in like any injury, like if you look at the Christian McCaffrey injury, nobody knows what's really going on with him. Yeah. Some Achilles injury that now he needs, apparently going out to Germany for
some
specialists. So we don't even know what that is. It could be something that he might not play football. Like, who knows? Or if it's surgery and he might not be the same.
Yeah. Right? I mean, even Shanahan said, like, well, we got to test this guy out and find out exactly, you know, let's get him in. I mean, he's going to play in a game sooner or later to see exactly what it is. I don't know if you can test it in a practice, and probably they don't want to.
Especially the way he plays, right?
I mean, like, maybe he just suits up, gets in there, and see what he's got. Mm-hmm. But, we don't know anything.
No. Well, we don't know a lot.
No. But I mean, you talk about the whole, you know, the injuries, whether it's the head injuries or the knee injuries or whatever. I mean, it's an injury sport. They're riddled with it. But,
Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, you know, with Favre coming out and saying that he had like thousands of concussions within a two-decade period. I mean, that's a weird number. I mean, it's kind of made up a little bit. But that must be some truth in what he's saying that, you know, they're football players. Like for the longest time, they just probably never said anything.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, all sports,
and now people's eyes and the cameras are on these guys when they go to a knee or whatever, the first indication is like, well, this guy's got to come off. He's got to go in the tent. He's got to get checked out by a doctor.
Which I think it's good. And I think they're doing that in all sports now. Like they're pulling them off away. Like hockey's the same. That hit happens. The upstairs comes down, goes, pull him. Right. And I think that's I think leagues have to do that now. The safety of the players, like you have to, because I think to your point that you're saying like a little bit earlier was these guys were playing through everything.
Yeah. Back in the day, it didn't matter.
They're all coming out now. There's people aren't coming out saying anything because they probably don't even remember anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like they probably
don't. Serious blackout.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Cam Newton came out and he said the same thing. He's like, you know, he got hit and he blacked out.
Really?
But like he played and the following week. But he still doesn't remember anything.
That's crazy.
And like, they're all coming out saying that now. But I mean, I think the league's doing a great job. But, you know, you got some players are wearing those helmets. Like if Tua comes back, he has to wear that helmet.
Oh yeah,
he has to.
The cap, kind of helmet.
I think he has to. I bet you the league might even start putting that down as when you come back from a concussion, you're wearing it.
Yeah, it's an interesting look, right? I must say.
There's a couple of players wearing it.
Well, they do. They definitely wear them in practice. Right. During training camp, just to prevent like the head injuries. Mm-hmm. Period. So yeah, I mean, maybe it is mandatory. Maybe it's something that you had a concussion. You come back, you have to wear the cap.
Yeah.
On top of your helmet
for either whatever games remaining in the season. Who knows? But I bet you comes back sane.
I do. They do look funny.
Yeah, but if you want to play,
but I mean, funny and no injury. Yeah, I mean, let's
put it on.
Yeah.
So let's say Tua comes back, and if you want to come back, you have to wear this. I mean, you're wearing it.
Yeah.
Why are you arguing it?
Yeah, I don't think he just wants to play.
Yeah. Does it slow you down? I don't think so.
No.
It can be heavier. Probably. Like.
Yeah.
You just look like a bobblehead playing football.
It's probably like air, really, right?
Yeah, it's going to be something. I don't know anything about it.
I don't know anything about it either.
I really don't. Okay, so in saying that, why don't we get through a few games from last week?
Let's do it.
So we've been talking about concussions. You want to just stick with the Miami-Seattle game?
Yeah, why not?
Get on it? So I watched that game.
I did not?
I watched almost all that game, and then I kind of said, okay, I'm not watching this game anymore.
Just saw some highlights.
So I was, I guess you could say, from a Dolphin fan, I was a little naive. I thought they were going to come out, I guess, with a bigger fight. It looks like Seattle, which is no pushover team.
No, not with McDonald knows what he's
they
doing
look good.
With that defense.
Like, they look good. He still got Geno Smith. I mean, it's so funny.
I mean, how do you only score 3 points, though?
But so here, okay. So I think Miami.
You watched it.
I did. And I think what Miami needed with Tua being out is they needed one game where the defense would steal it. And to me, that was the game.
Yeah.
The defense kept them in that game.
Okay.
They got the ball back every time. This is the offense going to get nothing going. And to me, I was watching it and I said.
So it's QB.
And coach.
Oh.
Because there was no. Mike McDaniel, I think, cannot adjust his game plan.
Without Tua in there?
I think so. Mm. You can see it. So you go out there and you put Skylar Thompson in, which we all saw Skylar Thompson last year. So we all know what he was going to bring. He wasn't going to bring a 300-yard game and throw. You know, 70-yard touchdowns down the field to Tyreek Hill. So why didn't you adjust the game to what Skyler could bring and then have your running game? He didn't. Skyler was going to throw two a place.
Yeah, Joe. So I mean, what does he bring?
Nothing. He got hurt, so he's out. So it's fine. But Seattle wasn't a pusher. Seattle played really good football. Their defense was really good, right?
Yep. That's that coach coming from the Ravens. Right, to be the head coach. I mean, their defense is showing something there for sure. I mean, to hold whether Tua's in there or not, to hold a Dolphin offense, which is supposed to be a juggernaut, to 3 points, that says something about your team right there.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I just, you pay these players the money, So, you know, you got Waddle, you got Hill, you got Mostert, you got your defense. But I think the defense did it. There's so many times the defense stopped Seattle.
We talked about that. They just couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it. So to me, it was like, why isn't he adjusting anything? And then come back from the half, and it's the same. So if you think of hockey, if you're down in the first period, it's not going well. Let's say you're down 3-0, 4-0. More than likely, when you come back out in the second period, you have a new goalie. And I know football is not as easy as that, because usually goalies play every second game, third game. I get that.
Yeah.
But there's nothing happening. You got no offense happening. Yeah. So why don't you say, okay, this isn't working. Give the ball to the next guy.
Yeah. I the only problem with that, I would say, is the complexity when you have that many players. You know, 11 guys versus 5 guys, and defensive schemes and offensive schemes. Like, it's of any position, QB, in all of sports, the hardest position to play, I would think. Like, you can't just throw any QB in there.
I totally agree.
Unless you're just handing it off.
Totally agree. Yeah. But you're hoping that your first, second, third string quarterbacks in all these meetings is in everything. They're in every snap at a practice. So they have to understand it.
You have to understand the playbook.
Right. Sure. But at the end of the day, the ball goes in the hands of the guy that's going to give you the best chance to win.
Right.
So when I was watching that game, I was saying Mike McDaniels is not adjusting anything. So at this point, you don't have a quarterback. No. Just wildcat it to a chain and let him run, because it's not working. But there was nothing. It was the same plays until he got hurt. Then Tim Boyle went in, which it wasn't bad. He was making passes. He was running the ball.
Okay.
He was using the tight ends. You know what I mean? It's just at that point the game was over anyway.
But so, well, he's signed Huntley.
I hope Snoop Huntley plays Sunday. I think that would a little spark in them.
Extra dimension.
Could run. He could do things. I'm
with you.
I'm hoping he plays, but in saying that, so Miami drops, right? So now they lose another one. So now they're 1-2, mm-hmm. right? Seattle wins another one, which is great for Seattle.
Yeah.
So the division Miami's in now is gonna get that window's gonna close quick on them. Right. Yeah, Buffalo just annihilated Jacksonville.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Like, annihilated them.
When you think of, like, I touched on this a little bit. I'm like, something's wrong with Trevor Lawrence. Well, he proved it, because what kind of performance was that? I mean, if you're supposedly this good and you've had all these years in the league, what kind of progression are you making? Like, he's regressed.
Yeah, he's going the wrong way for
sure. It's like that team is like not his. Like, it's like he looks like deer in the headlights. He doesn't. I think he's his confidence is shot.
And he's getting paid a lot of money. he's the second highest paid quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about. I mean, we haven't touched on, because it's still early in the season, but, like, you know, coaches on the hot seat. I mean,
gotta be. He has to be.
Right. You can't start the season like that.
And didn't they come out before the season started and, like, this is the best team we've ever had?
The owner came out and said this.
Even Trevor Lawrence came out and said that.
Oh well, yeah. They're all in agreement. And boy, that was wrong.
Yeah. The only game they were in.
I don't
in,
see anything upside for them.
The only game they were in was week one, when they just barely, like, lost to Miami. Like, Miami just beat them.
Right, yeah. And actually, Jacksonville was up in that game quite a bit, right? So they Miami
decent.
Came back in that.
They looked decent.
That was
decent.
That big 80-yard touchdown, yeah. Right? Yeah.
They looked decent. And they then did. All of a sudden, it's like, they don't look good at all. And now, listen. So I projected at the beginning of the year, I said Buffalo was going to start slow, but then figure it out, because they're just too good of, they're well coached
and new players.
Josh Allen. Yeah. So I'm like, they're going to figure it out. So I thought Buffalo wouldn't have been 2-1, you know, maybe, you know, I mean, I didn't see them starting 3-0. I really didn't. I thought Miami was going to win, and they didn't, obviously, but I thought they were going to come off slow. But now, like, Josh Allen's using everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. He's feeding everyone, and he's also feeding himself a lot too. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. He's hungry.
Well, did you hear what he said when he came out? Well, I think it was on, like, either it was definitely after the game. I mean, Tuesday this week or earlier this week, when he said something like, "It's amazing how not everybody here cares about stats on the team."
Yeah, so,
which is kind of cool. Like, everybody,
that was a little shot at Diggs there.
Yeah, I know. Which is coming.
Which is
up,
fine.
Which is coming up in
it's
a couple
fine.
Weeks.
Diggs
right?
is actually still doing quite well. Yeah.
But Buffalo looks good. Buffalo looks good. They look good.
I mean, they their did the right thing. Good, I mean, you don't want crybabies on the sidelines, and they got kind of rid of it. The guy that wasn't happy, he showed it, and they got rid of him.
Well, they put 41 up on Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I don't see I don't see Josh Allen actually. He just looks unstoppable.
Yeah, he's not. They're not slowing down Buffalo. Like, they got. We'll see. They got a tougher schedule coming up. So to me, I look.
I can see them. They're not going to win 17 games. They could easily lose to the Ravens this week.
They could be 3-3 come week six.
I don't know about that.
But no, but they can because so there's to, so me they got they came out of the gate 3-0. They played Jacksonville, Miami. Who did they play week one? Week one. Arizona. So they beat Arizona.
That was a comeback.
Right. So they beat Arizona. They beat Miami. They beat Jacksonville. I think their schedule is going to get a little tougher now. They definitely got to get in the division. So they got Baltimore. I think they got the Jets in there and Houston in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, that should be some good challenges.
Exactly. Sure. So now you start getting to that point where it's like.
We're going to see what they're made of.
Exactly. So 3-0, still a good start. I watched that game too.
You can't have a better start, Joe.
They look good. They look really good. They look really good. They've put a lot of points up in the past 3 weeks. Looks like their offense, it's just clicking.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to take slower, but that rookie Coleman got his first touchdown.
Yep.
Last week
on, I mean, I think everyone got a touchdown.
James Cook looks Cook looks really good.
Yep.
Right? So it looks like he's really coming out as a running back. So
now, hopefully I get his right in his name, Shakir.
Yeah, Shakir. Shakir, yeah. Yeah, he looks like he's his number one.
He looks like the number one guy,
Yeah, and then the tight end. So,
of course.
Now Kincaid, it's here we go again. It's you got to catch Buffalo.
Yeah,
everybody's got to catch Buffalo.
Josh Allen MVP. Mm. But let's just say you know things change. It's only
he's got to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Well, he would win the MVP at this point. Like there's no one touching him for the MVP right now.
Yeah, you think?
Oh, his stats are it's off the charts.
Okay.
Yeah, Mahomes is actually he would admit he's not playing that well.
Oh, Kansas City's not playing well.
Which says something about a team that's 3-0.
They're winning.
Yeah, because they're
But they're not dominating. They're a championship team. But they're not dominating.
No.
That's the thing. They're winning, but they're not dominating.
Well, it's hard to repeat, man. And they did it already. So that says something about them.
Yeah.
I'm not. No one's worried about Kansas City. Everyone's worried about Kelsey. But no one's worried about.
Yeah, everybody's worried about poor Kelsey.
Everyone's poor down on Kelsey.
But then Kelsey came out and said, as long as we're winning. He said, you know, him and his brother had that podcast.
Yeah, well,
and he was like, and his brother was very sincere about it. He's like, I know you're going to get through this. And Travis was like, well, as long as we're winning. I was like, what?
Yeah. A perfect comment.
Which is true.
But on, when you look at him on the sidelines, you don't see that.
They need him. They need
him. Highest paid tight end. I mean, you know, he's going to. But he'll. I think, you know, like this is the thing. 17 seasons, not 17 games.
Exactly.
The whole landscape can change from week to week, and it does, and that's why we can keep talking.
And and wouldn't you want a player like that to get better as the year goes?
Of course,
right? This is the best time for him to be in a little bit of a rut.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want him in a rut in week 16, 17, and then playoffs.
Yeah, the best coaches, the best players say that for a soundbite. They say, "I just want to get better each week."
Exactly, and he will. He will. He's too good of a tight end and a player to be like this
for sure,
week after week. Yeah. They're going to figure it all out.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be like 31 other teams line up to have them on their team.
Right? Exactly. And Kansas City will figure it out. They're winning, but they're not dominating.
Oh, I'm not worried about Kansas City. We don't even really have to talk about Kansas City.
No, I don't really want to talk about Kansas City because there'll be lots of weeks of work. We are going to be talking about them.
Of course.
And I don't want to get involved in the whole thing that's happening right now with everybody saying they're only winning.
We'll see how they do in the playoffs.
Yeah. So we got Baltimore and Dallas last week. That was a huge game. And I think we had a good conversation on that one because I said it was a bigger game for Dallas.
Right.
You were kind of more of a 50-50.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you saw it was kind of a little bit more of a bigger game for Baltimore.
I did.
But it was still kind of a 50-50 of like both of them needed to win. They both needed to win that game.
Right. And the same things that, you know, that are happening with Dallas, they happened in that game and that's they can't stop the run. I mean, you know, Jerry Jones comes out and says, oh, we couldn't afford Henry. Like, Henry wanted to play for the Cowboys, but they decided not to sign him. So what Henry do? He decided to run all over them and be a game wrecker. And that's exactly what happened. And then Jones, after the game, said, yeah, we just couldn't afford him. I mean, maybe you couldn't afford him, but maybe you should have at least talked to him.
Yeah, well, yeah.
and see if he wanted to play for you. But the problem with Dallas is going to be and continue to be they can't stop the run. I'm not necessarily too worried about their offense. I mean, I know Lamb's, he sat out the whole train. Like, their timing might, you know, they're going to come around. Mm-hmm. The offense might come around, but there's two things. They can't stop the run, and they can't run the ball.
Right, but they came back. Like, Dak led them back. So, I was watching that game.
Yeah, but Baltimore always
right
blows games, too. Like, It's like they always let down. They let teams back in. Thankfully, they won the game because it, it looked like Dallas, you know.
Dak let them back down. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm still not buying it, though. No. Like Dallas can't continue to come out in games and get down. Yeah. Like, they're always behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
They never come out. Like, it's always 3-0 with them when they start games.
Yeah. Well, it's like Miami.
It's like, how are you, like, why don't you ever make...
Come out right,
midfield. Why are you know you got to kick 70-yard field goals? Like it's just there's something wrong with that team.
So I was watching it, and to me the game was over. I was like, hey, Baltimore won this game because there was nothing happening for Dallas.
I'll be honest, I mean I stopped watching.
Then I saw them come back, and they had a great fourth quarter. And to me, saying, okay, well, Dak's worth the money.
Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think this year it hasn't been an offensive. Yeah, they're a little bit slow coming out, but to me, it's the defense that's letting them down.
Well, yeah. I mean, and once again,
they weren't supposed to. This defense was supposed to be.
Yeah, but with Quinn leaving, going to Washington, I think that caused a lot of they lost players too, right? But I think bringing in Zimmer, who was. I think he was like last in the league the last couple years on defense with Minnesota. Really? So I'm like, maybe he's long the tooth. Maybe they need an infusion of young coaching.
How long was Quinn there for?
Like, bring me the McDonald guy from Seattle and like
you do well there.
I'm just saying, like, there's something to be said about how the league's changing to younger coordinators, younger coaching. You know, college players are coming into the NFL; they're already ready.
Well,
like,
look at
it. Never used to be that way.
Well, look at Buffalo's offensive coordinator. Wherever they got this kid from, he's young.
Yeah. He's super young.
And he's like, he's calling some pretty amazing plays out there. But how long was Quinn their defense coordinator? For a while.
Yeah, I mean, I would say under McCarthy for the 4 years that he's been
there. For sure, he's been there.
He's been there for the 3 years.
Okay, so that's...
And then obviously guys that coordinate very, very well in the league, they get chances to be head coaches. So now he's with Washington.
I wonder if it's just they can't the defense having a hard time just like adjusting and understanding it, right?
Yeah, I mean it's a different scheme.
Which means they will figure it out.
Right. Yeah, I don't know the differences obviously between, Quinn and Zimmer, the scheme, but I mean schemes can definitely complicate things for players.
Well, they have the Giants coming up, so I mean if any defense is gonna figure it out, it'd be against the Giants.
Maybe they can fix it against them.
Right, so I mean, but those are the games you want. You want those kind of those rebound games where it's like, okay, we should be able to dominate this or get better at it, and this is the team to do it. You're not going to do it against the teams that have, like, really strong offense. So it's like, this is the team to get everything, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you could start gelling. You could get your timing down, in your passing game, and maybe they figure out how to stop the run. I mean, the Giants aren't a great running team, so...
No.
But you're right. It's a good, measuring stick.
Right.
For like getting
momentum, right? It's like, okay. Like,
and it is, and being a division game too, which is huge. You got to win in your division. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see.
See what happens.
I'm neutral.
You're neutral.
Yeah. Meaning like if they win, they win. If they don't, they don't. I don't have any expectations.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you'd hope they're going to beat the Giants.
Well, if they don't beat the Giants, I mean, I probably won't watch them the rest of the year.
Yeah, if you don't beat the Giants, that's it.
Yeah, I mean,
but Dak, the Giants aren't that bad.
Dak has the longest streak maybe going for beating a team, and that's the Giants. So we'll see.
Because it's in their division, right?
It's in their division. He doesn't lose to them. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, they just better show up, and they better be able to, like, for a team that doesn't run very well, they better be able to stop them. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we'll see.
Let's move on.
We'll see. We'll move on. Well, they don't have a running game anyway, the Giants, so.
Yeah,
so
we're spending too much time on that team anyway. Yeah.
So then if we go back to the AFC, there was an upset on this one too where Washington upset Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
That was
I didn't see that coming at all.
No. That kid, he's – a lot of people, they use the word star.
That was the other Monday Nighter. That was the second Monday Nighter last week. So there's two Monday Nighters.
Oh, that's right.
So that was the second
one. Yeah, because everyone knew the Bills game was over by halftime.
Yeah. So everybody was going on
with Washington?
Well,
no one was really thinking about that game. And meanwhile, you got a kid who looks the part. He looks for real. I mean, he's not – his stature's interesting. He's not a big guy, so he kind of reminds me of Lamar a little bit, but with a little better touch on the ball. I'm not, you know, nothing against Lamar. I just feel like this kid can pass.
So you talk about Daniels.
Yeah.
In Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're first in their division. Yeah. I know. I get it. Right? Yeah. You know, but.
Yeah. I mean, and their head early, coach is Quinn.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be, that'll be an interesting, as the season progresses, I just see him getting better. I mean, this kid's for real.
But what's happened in Cincinnati? Like, last week we talked about Burrow,
not a big deal. He's cool as a cucumber, man.
Which is good. Which you want your QB to be.
He's like, we'll be fine. You're 0-3. I know that they do start, they've been pretty notorious for starting slow. Like some of the other teams I've mentioned, like Jacksonville and whatever. But Bengals are no Jacksonville in this situation. If you're to look at Jacksonville at 0-3 and you're looking at Cincinnati at 0-3, Cincinnati is an 0-3 team that could turn it around. Just because, you know, they've been in every game. Burrow isn't the problem. Burrow is playing phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah. They got Higgins back. They got Chase. He played a heck of a game. So I think they have some defensive problems that you got to figure out.
Yeah, they can't stop the run either.
I'm with Burrow. I actually think if any team can come back in this league from being down 0-3, because I think your chances of making the playoffs when you're 0-3, like your percentages are very low. But for the Bengals, I think they're a little bit of an anomaly. I actually think that I agree with Burrow. I think that they're going to turn it around.
Yeah,
and what better way to turn it around than play the Panthers?
Yeah, but I don't. I look at the Cincinnati Bengals and I look, okay, you got the Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0, right? You got Baltimore at 1-2. And Cleveland, I'm just going to write them off.
The division, yeah.
So I don't see, I mean, unless, like Pittsburgh is playing pretty good football. Field is doing really well.
Yeah, but have they played top caliber team yet? I mean.
Well, no, like, but Cincinnati hasn't either. Who they play? That was top caliber.
Well, Chiefs, and they almost beat them.
That's it. They lost to Washington.
If that's it, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But I mean, Pittsburgh, you got Pittsburgh 3-0. You got Baltimore. So Cincinnati, to me, if they turn it around, they'll be in the wild card mix because the wild card AFC right now, I know we're week four, but everybody's still in the mix.
Yeah.
Because there's a ton of 1-2 teams, right? There's a ton.
Yeah. I mean, week four is a quarter through the season.
If Pittsburgh wins and goes 4-0, right? Yeah. Right. And Cincinnati goes 1-3 or 0-4, their best chance now is just wild card.
Yeah, I mean, if
they're a wild card team or that's it. Like, they're not going to win that division.
Yeah, the Bengals will not lose to Carolina. I know there's the curveball here. Andy Dalton, ex-Bengal, you know, played really well with Carolina last week. But I honestly think that, you know, if you think of caliber of team, like the Bengals are a good team.
They got to stop the run, and Hubbard played a hell of a game for Carolina.
Yeah, I'll give Carolina their due here. Like, yeah, they surprised me by, you know, but obviously changing the quarterback was the best move that they could have made.
But okay, so yeah, but that's where you got to me. Carolina looks like their coach is figuring this out, right?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
And that's where we go back to the Miami conversation, right? So Carolina knew enough to say this ain't working,
right?
Give the ball to the guy that's going to give you the best chance to win the game.
Sure, and that's what all teams should do.
That's right. So I think the coach, obviously to me right away, is like, okay, this coach he's adapting to his team.
Right.
He's figuring out what's working and what's not working. You can't just keep giving them, because he's your number one draft pick and he's going to get paid because he's the rookie, he's first pick overall. Who cares?
Well, we know that first pick overall in the history of sports and the NFL is not always working.
Right. But yeah. But who cares? He's not the best guy for the, like, right now. Maybe he is next year.
Yeah.
Maybe halfway through the, who knows?
Yeah, or he needs a new zip address, you know, who knows?
Maybe he's another Baker Mayfield. Maybe he's another, like, who knows? Yeah. But it's like, that coach was, I didn't know who the coach is for Carolina.
Yeah.
But I know, he I knew feel enough like, to say, uh-uh. Like,
yeah.
It only took him a couple weeks to figure this out, say, no, yeah. You're not ready.
I agree. And sometimes being disappointed for an athlete is the best thing that can happen to you.
Look at Fields,
I'm not saying you need to change your team necessarily, but sometimes that demotion can be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Like, don't forget who was the practice squad QB
for who
that came out came in because of an injury, and then now is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Oh, is that what Tom Brady? Yeah, when Bledsoe got hurt, yeah.
I know. You don't know. It's just the opportunity you need.
It's true. I mean, it is. That's why they always refer to the next man up.
That's right? What I mean. So, but for a coach to be able to say, pause, right? He's not it right now.
Yeah. We need to sit him down. Yeah.
Doesn't matter if he's first pick overall. Do you want to be 0-16? No. Yeah. Or 17? No. Yeah. So let's get the guy in that's going to do it and let this guy watch.
Yeah. You drafted him to start, but of all positions, that sometimes is not the position to start. No,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Green Bay's always figured that one out, right? Oh,
always. But there's always been somebody there. So you had Favre with Rodgers. Rodgers was a backup.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you had Rodgers, and behind Rodgers was Love.
Yeah. And we know.
And Rodgers moves on. Yeah. And now
I know they Love's sit. There. They sit for years.
Yeah. And watch. I know. And learn.
And like, and how, what better way to learn the position than sitting there watching Hall of Famers play all the time?
And that's why I think he's a great coach. LaFleur, great coach.
He's top two.
Yeah, top two in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, wow. Like, look what he's done with a cast off like Malik. I mean, the quarterback from the Titans.
Willis.
How a guy like that is just thrown to the curb. He comes to Green Bay. Like, he doesn't have not much time either.
No.
And then he gets thrown in the spotlight, and he played flawlessly since he's been in there, and they've won every game. And then you look at, he plays the Titans, and what a revenge game that was.
Yeah,
he played phenomenal.
Yeah,
and he played really well. He said the right thing too. He said, "Oh, it wasn't a revenge game; it's just another game, like any other game." Well, we know that's not true.
No, it's not. It's not true.
But as a QB, he said the right thing.
Yeah,
he's like, "This is no revenge game." But I mean, that's an organization that just knows how to adjust and win. That's good coaching. That's why LaFleur is, like, in my mind, top coach in the league.
Okay, so now we got Green Bay, Minnesota. Huge game. Big game.
Yeah, that's...
It's a big game. That's an interdivision game. That's a big game.
Who would have thought Minnesota would be where they are right now?
Not me. No chance.
Not with Darnold.
But I wouldn't even think they would... Even
with this guy?
But even with... what was... McCarty? The quarterback that got hurt? He played for the Wolverines last year. It was the first pick for them.
McCarthy.
Yeah, even with him, I didn't see this. Because he's a rookie quarterback. Because he would have had every snap.
Probably wouldn't be.
He would have had every snap.
No, but I mean.
No, but no, they wouldn't have. So I never would have saw them coming out
3-0. They probably wouldn't be in this position.
No, they could have been 0-3 easy.
If Darnold just didn't get, like,
mind you,
planted there as.
Yeah, mind you, you're throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. I thought he wasn't playing, but he played last week.
Yeah, no, I know.
I thought he was out.
But it turned out to be a contusion.
Oh.
So he had a bruise.
I thought he wasn't.
I know it looked like bruises can be pretty brutal, but he had a bruise. Obviously, you know, medical staff, you know, the ice bucket, whatever, got him healed up quite nicely, came back. So Minnesota, do you think they're for real?
No.
No, okay.
No.
So their defense does look really good.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the place. But Darnold, you still wonder if you believe in this guy, right?
Yeah, I don't mean, the guy
could always throw the ball. No one ever questioned that. But his decision-making was always an issue.
Yeah.
So is the coach of Minnesota kind of like a QB whisperer? Does he know how to make something out of this guy that no one else saw? You know, if you go back when he was drafted, you know, Troy Aikman talked about Darnold and saying, "Oh my God, this guy's going to be a star." Like, I just.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
When he was with the, was it the Jets originally? Yeah. He got drafted, right? Yeah. He thought this guy was going to be a phenomenal quarterback. And then.
The Jets have been. That was struggle years. Yeah, I mean, they didn't have a good struggle team. Years for him.
But the way they talked about that guy, it was like, this guy's going to be a star. I mean, maybe, you know, we talk about it. Circumstances, coaching.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right.
I mean, you put guys in the right positions, the right players around them, and the right coaching and the right plays, and they just know how to run with it, right? So maybe we give Darnold we have to give him some credit. I mean, he's playing really well.
I agree.
But you think he's going to fall flat at some point.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's him, the team. I just don't see maybe the division because you got Green Bay, so this big game. So Green Bay's 2-1,
yeah,
and Minnesota's 3-0.
And is Love gonna play?
So even if they don't, I think everybody's really comfortable with Wills playing.
Yeah.
So to me, it's okay if Green Bay wins this game. Now they're tied with Minnesota. They're both 3-1, right? Mm-hmm. You have who else is in that division? You have
Chicago.
You got Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Detroit's 2-1.
Yeah. Detroit will be there.
The Bears won't be. We all know that. There's a lot of learning curves in the Bears right now. So they won't win that division. But no. Those three teams,
are legit.
Green Bay, Detroit, and Minnesota. One of them is going to win that division.
Yep.
And they're all, and right now it looks like it's going to be a race to it. Who do I pick? I pick Green Bay.
Yeah.
Especially if Love comes back.
Me too.
Then I'm really locking in Green Bay.
Me too. I just believe in Green Bay and the coach, and yeah, maybe I should be a Packer fan. I don't know.
Oh, a cheesehead?
No, I can't change.
A cheesehead? You can be a cheesehead.
No, I'm cheesy, but I'm not going to be no cheesehead.
You know what? That's a funny thing. So, we live in the GTA, right? We live in Burlington.
Yeah. No one will know what the hell we're talking about.
But everybody, so we live very close to the Buffalo border. So everybody, there's a majority of the fans you would say here are Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, there's more Buffalo Bill fans than there are CFL fans. And that's the Canadian Football League, if anyone's wondering.
So you got that. So I get it all the time. Why aren't you a Buffalo Bill fan? You're a Miami Dolphin fan. And my team struggled for years.
Because I'm not.
My team struggled for years. I could never change a team.
No, you're not supposed to.
No, I will never change a team. I never. And I know I'm gonna flip it here really quick, though. Really super quick. Yesterday was the last game the Oakland Athletics will ever play in Oakland baseball.
Oh.
The last game ever.
Oh, I think I heard a little bit about this.
I'm a huge Oakland Athletic baseball fan.
They move into Vegas.
Well, they went to Sacramento first for the next couple of years, and then hopefully Vegas.
Oh.
I'm a huge Oakland fan. I've been an Oakland fan since I was a little kid.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I watched that game yesterday. I was like, I made sure I watched that game. And today I was like, this is kind of sad. And then my kids asked me right away, well, who are you going to go for? I said, I don't know. I still want to go for them because if they go to Vegas, the Vegas Athletics or whatever, or Sacramento Athletics, still my team.
Yeah, right? I guess so. I mean,
you know what I mean? But I'm like, I don't know. They're like, well, you going to go for the Blue Jays? I'm like, listen, part of me always wants you want local team to win it and like do all that.
Yeah, you have a little soft spot for your local team.
But it's your team. Like, I'll never trade my team because they're not good.
No.
Even Dolphins have not been good for a long time.
But if they change cities, like, you know what?
I guess if you change cities, you have an out.
No. But if, if they still have the same name, then
do
maybe.
You?
Like,
you?
Well, I mean, this is. I don't want to go talk about the Cowboys again, but
Houston Cowboys.
They moved to Arlington.
Yeah.
They did. You know, they were in like.
Yeah.
They were in the heart of.
Yeah, but they're always Dallas Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
Why am I talking about them? That's never going to change. They'll never change the name. They could go anywhere they want in Texas. That's to staying as the Dallas Cowboys.
Fair, they're staying there.
Okay, so we talked about Detroit, so we're in that division. So Green Bay, Minnesota. I got Green Bay coming out of this game.
Yep.
Green Bay at home?
I'm going to go Green Bay for sure.
Are they at home? I don't know if they're at home.
I don't even care if they're not.
Oh, really?
I actually think that Green Bay is like
Green Bay's legitimate, at home,
by the way. Like contender.
They're at home. They were last year.
I know, but I mean even more this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because
they started
out really slow with Love last year, and then he just went on fire. And the fact that he's been out, and they are able to do what they're doing, that tells me that they're like they're worthy.
And he never got credit. So beginning of the year last year, everybody was like, "Ooh, is this guy even it?" Because you step into shoes of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But they give him a go. And look, the coach believed in him.
Yep.
He played. He got better.
Yeah, because
they almost went to the NFC Championship.
They actually could have easily beat the 49ers. Like
easily like, beat.
Yeah, they were way up.
Well, Minnesota beat them this year.
They were way up in the playoffs, and they destroyed Dallas. So, yeah, they're legit. There's no question in my mind.
What about San Fran? Now you bring up San Fran. A lot of injuries in San Fran right now. Like, a ton of injuries.
The biggest injury, everyone's going to talk about, whoa, get McCaffrey back. You know, Purdy's a little bit banged up. But it's Hargrove, the defensive tackle. That dude was, he's an all-pro for a reason. He shuts down the run. He allows Warner to play his game. Fred Warner, the linebacker. He allows the linebackers to run free and make plays. Without him, that's a big step backwards in my mind for their defense. He's kind of like the heart of their defense. And he's now gone for the year.
Is he gone for the year?
Oh, yeah, he's done. He's done. Ooh. Yeah, I think he tore his pec or something.
Well, did Kettle play last game? I don't think so.
Or bicep.
Kettle didn't play last game. Oh, McCaffrey's out. Yeah. Kettle's out, right?
Yeah, Samuel's out. He's back.
This week, though, but he didn't play last week.
No, he didn't play last week.
No.
Yeah, so they had significant injuries.
Oh, there's a lot of, like, and when you start talking about, like, offensive injuries, like, these guys are the guys that you want the ball in their hands all the time.
Yeah, no, they're dealing with
but they will a lot figure
of adversity right now.
Coaches, well-coached team, right?
Oh, yeah, they're another well.
But really they're not going to be a juggernaut-dominant team, right, coasting into the NFC Championship.
No.
I think they have work this year.
Yeah, they're gonna be in a lot. Like everyone knows who they are too. they're going to be tighter games. There's going to be with these injuries. I mean, we know like injuries can derail a good team.
Oh, big time. Yeah, big time.
Like you know, with Tua. I mean, you take out the quarterback. What do you got?
So do you think the San Francisco 49ers when the schedule comes out and you're an opposing team in the NFC?
Right.
The schedule comes out. Coaches are circling the 49ers.
Right. Yeah.
Because that was always your measuring stick.
Well, yeah. Beat the 49ers been good for so long.
Right. You beat the 49ers.
Yep.
You beat within your division. You know what I mean? And
yeah, if you beat the 49ers, you just beat a contender.
Right.
And that's all you want to do.
And that's what the AFC does with Kansas City. Circle all those games. Oh, those are the big games. Yeah. Right? Beat these guys. Yeah. So
and until proven otherwise, that's the team you circle. I mean, people would like to circle Buffalo, but they still haven't, you know, gone far in. Well, they just haven't won the Super Bowl. They're pegged to win the Super Bowl probably now again. But they seem to always come up short.
It's like the curse. The curse of Orchard Park.
Yeah.
They can't. Well, yeah.
They're always a little wide left. It's wide right.
It's a wide right. Yeah. They got Baltimore this week. It's a big match for Buffalo.
Yeah, actually.
If I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, this is the game I'm going, okay, win, beat them, right? And then now, if you're the 4-0 Buffalo Bills and Baltimore's in that mix of the 4-0, Buffalo's going to start getting. Everybody's saying Josh Allen's playing the best football. Buffalo's playing great football. Now you beat Baltimore and you're 4-0.
Yeah.
I think Buffalo jumps up to those power ranking things. They jump right up. Right up in the AFC.
Well, they already are.
But now they're going to be like, I can see them bumping Kansas City. Like, they're it. Points are going up. Defense playing strong. They go 4-0, let's say. They beat Baltimore in that mix.
If they take out Baltimore, like, and they take them out, I wouldn't say easily, but if they play a really good game against
like Baltimore, Baltimore's coming behind to beat them, like Baltimore's got to come, yeah.
Yeah, and if Buffalo comes out on a win with that one, then they're going to be out of all the teams, they're going to be top two, and they might be number one.
In total, are you saying like total, AFC?
Total.
Ooh, boy. Ooh, geez. Somebody think you're a closet Buffalo Bill fan, Dave?
I'm definitely not. I just know a lot of Bill fans, and I just want them to know that I do send, you know, I give them a little bit of love once in a while.
Yeah, but they, so far.
And I'm sorry because the Dolphins are.
No. I'm the same. But, sorry, Joe. But so far this year, they've earned it. Like, they're playing really good football from how they've got a little bit kind of like somewhat gutted.
They did.
They're playing good football. So we'll leave it at that. They're playing great football. Big game with the Ravens. Yep. I think it's the Sunday night game. So prime time again for the Bills. The Bills get all the prime time games.
Yeah. Having said all that, I think the Ravens lose.
Oh,
like you think
couple
the Ravens,
this couple of things this conversation right now. I've been like, wow.
No, but you think the Ravens are going to pull out an upset? It wouldn't be an upset, really.
Are they in Buffalo again? I don't think so.
I think it's actually in Baltimore.
I think Baltimore wins this game, but I think it's going to be a very close game. I think both teams are going to like play their like hearts out there.
Yeah.
And I see Baltimore winning because Baltimore has yet to really come out. And I don't think Buffalo's the game to do it.
Yeah.
But they've yet to come out and really dominate a game and win.
Yep. No. Right?
I'm not saying they're going to dominate, but I think Baltimore needs this game.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins.
Yeah, game. Me neither. And I mean, it's a coin toss for me, really, but I think Baltimore wins this game.
Okay.
Because I think Buffalo might. It might also be a little bit. Buffalo's riding really high, which is confidence, which is great. But then all of a sudden they might hit something where it's like, whoa. Yeah. It's not going to be as easy as the past 3 weeks were.
Yeah.
Especially the past 2 weeks.
Agreed.
Right? So Jacksonville-Miami, a little bit easy.
Yeah.
Now you're hitting a team that's not going to sit down easy and let you just like run this ball like that.
No. So, no, and I mean if...
A little harder. A little harder.
And Josh Allen's, you know, I mean, that guy plays... The way he plays the game, he's susceptible to like making a big mistake. Because he'll throw it in. He hasn't done it yet.
He does ever.
But he throws it in these weird windows that no other quarterback can.
And he runs and he doesn't slide. Because
he's that good. But having said all that, you know, a key mistake or a key interception or whatever, it can ruin the game.
100%. So, yep, it can happen. I agree. Yep, it could happen. Then what else interesting games we have this week coming up? We got New Orleans and Atlanta.
That is an interesting
game. I don't think anybody would ever circle those two games that this is worth talking about, but this is big.
Yeah, no. Well, people believed in Atlanta a little bit before the season started. They thought they were talented. New Orleans, really, no one really talked about.
No.
They did take a step back, came back to earth, like I kind of mentioned, against Philly.
Yeah, you actually called it. Yeah.
I did see that, but I think that'll be a good game. I mean, because it's division games are always interesting. But I'm going to go with Atlanta in that one. Me too. And because they're home. If it was in Saints land, maybe I would, you know, I might favor the Saints. But I just think that Atlanta is actually, I think they're a decent team.
Me too. I'm going with Atlanta on this one. I think Atlanta, like I said last week, I love Kirk Cousins. I think he's great. Yeah. I really like
Mooney. Soft spot for that guy. Eh?
I love how Mooney last week had a great game. And he came from Chicago, right? Well, not much was happening there. I just remember him.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta's going to win. But again, this division... Yeah. Somebody's coming out with a 500 record. So if Atlanta beats New Orleans, okay, they're both going to be 2-2. If Tampa loses, whoever, 2-2. Everybody, Carolina wins, are 2-2. This division has been a 500 division.
Yeah, Tampa plays Philly.
Right. If Tampa wins, they're 2-2.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be 2-2. If everybody, it's just.
So right on your prediction.
It's just this division. This division to me, it's all about winning within your. And now listen, every game you play within your division is important. I get it.
Yeah.
Right? But this division is really important because the winner's always coming out with just an above 500 record.
Right. Unless we go way back. Yeah.
So Atlanta has to beat New Orleans. Right, or New Orleans has to beat Atlanta, because it's going to come down to a game for somebody to come out of here.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good. Actually, that is a game worth watching.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I like
that game.
That should be a good game.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
Well, I mean, I'll tune in. I'll pay
attention to it.
Yeah,
that's what I'll do. I'll pay attention to that game.
Yeah, are you a red zone guy? You just sit there and watch all the red zone stuff?
No, I'll pick a game.
Yeah, me too. I'll pick a game. I love just watching.
Obviously, I'll watch the Monday Nighter this week because it's Miami and Tennessee, and I just want to see what happens there. But on Sunday, the TV will be on, but I'll pick a game.
Yeah, me too. I always want to watch
because you always see it anyway. The ticker's going
to
show you
there's
the score.
There's something to be said about watching a game from beginning to end and just getting into the game itself.
I just talked about Miami, Tennessee is the Monday Nighter.
Miami and Tennessee.
So Miami gets a primetime game.
Well, I'm not. It doesn't sound interesting, that game.
So, to me, it's interesting, not because of a fan. To me, it's interesting because I want to see how Mike McDaniels could adapt his team and try to figure this out without Tua. So, that's why it's worth watching.
Well, they got the right opponent.
Right. But so, again, we go back to our comment earlier about the whole, stepping stone, and this is a good one to get momentum off of, right?
Yep.
So, I just want to see his strategy going into this game. And if it's Huntley that starts,
yeah,
I want to see the strategy. If it's Boyle that starts, I want to see the strategy. Yeah. But I just want to see what he does. I want to see how he can adapt because there's a lot of heat on him right now. A lot of people came at him right away and saying, maybe you shouldn't be calling the plays. Maybe you should have an offensive coordinator calling these plays, right? And it's just because...
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for a head coach calling the plays. I mean, sometimes it's just too much, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't really know because I've never been a head coach. But I mean... Being a head coach, motivating all your players, defense, offense, and then being the offense coordinator and calling all the plays, man, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But to me, it is a lot, but I just want to see how he could adapt the game and change it and say, okay, we might not have the passing game anymore. So how do we utilize the weapons we have? So how are you going to utilize Hill? He didn't get the ball at all last game. How do you utilize Waller?
Why don't I just pitch it to him?
How do you utilize your running game, which you have a great running game? Mostert's back this game, apparently.
Okay.
So you're going to have a chain back there. You're going to have Mostert back there.
Yeah,
so how do you utilize these guys, right?
Yep.
And whoever QB's playing, how do you change the game and the plays to adapt to his capability?
Okay, well,
his talent.
If in my mind, if Huntley's playing and you got Mostert back, that tells me that it's you're doing the... You know, the whole handoff to your running back, but then you're running it.
Just run the ball.
You're just going to run the ball.
Yeah.
And what better way to win a game than controlling the clock, getting positive yards, and not worrying about some quarterback that's going to throw the INT and change the game and the field position and everything else.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, but see what McDaniels does. He should make the right call and run the ball and play good, stingy defense.
Yeah, and I think their defense played really well last game against Seattle. The last touchdown towards the end of the game, whatever, I'll give Seattle that. But I think they'll play well again because they didn't play great. They didn't stop the run a lot against Seattle, right? So I think they have still adjustments to do. I just want to see how this team responds. How does this team respond from your QB went down, right? You lost that game. He went down and you lost that game.
Yeah.
You came back the following week without your QB and you didn't respond.
Right.
Now you're coming back again. Now you're... Now this is different because you're 1-2. You go to 1-3 in the AFC. Nothing. Now you're fighting for wild card, and Buffalo is going to run away with this division again.
Yeah.
So it's how do you respond now? Now you have to respond because if there's a date circled on the calendar that says your QB is coming back this date, the best thing you want to do is be there, either winning record for him or 500. You go down 1-3.
Yeah.
It's.
No, 1-3.
So I want to see this game. I just want to see how this coach adapts to this game.
Yeah, I mean, this obviously it's a must win, and yeah. And your season is getting to a point of being toast. So yeah, they have to win. I mean, whether they do or not, that's a whole other story. But it will be an interesting to see what kind of game plan they have.
And there's a few games that are like that. Like Cincinnati's got to win against Carolina.
And
got to win.
And they will.
And they will. Okay, I'm gonna take Carolina.
Get out of here.
Yeah, why not?
Just because you like to disagree with me?
Carolina at home, right? They're looking at Cincinnati Carolina as they're like, whatever. They're looking at Cincinnati going, these guys aren't good. We're going to run the ball down their throat. We're going to just run it. I can see it. They're going to run it because they can't stop the run, Cincinnati. Well, they're going to run it.
They have some problems on defense. Yeah,
so they're going to run it.
But, I mean, you can say about any team, man. Every team's got their problems.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just
there
mean,
is
like,
no one. I mean, yeah, we could throw, you know, Buffalo just because they're undefeated, though. It doesn't mean that they don't have problems. Like, every team has issues, and they're trying to correct them throughout the whole year, this long season. You know, we're talking now four weeks in. You know, go halfway to the, you know, halfway part of the season, and the whole landscape can change again.
Oh, big time, yeah. Yeah, and you can even have other star players are out now, right? You get one guy back and one goes out.
Yeah, injuries.
You don't know, right?
Injuries
is the big one. And you always want to be healthy going into the wild card or playoffs. So that's the big thing, too. So I want to talk about one more game that happens this week. Seattle and Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you see here? I see it's Seattle 3-0.
It's in Detroit?
In Detroit. Detroit's 2-1. Seattle's 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, wow, that's a tough one, I feel. I mean, everyone's sold, you know, like Detroit is this great team, but I'm still wondering about them. Like, I'm not a big believer, and I'm not necessarily a big believer in the Seahawks either, just because of their offense. And I don't know. I would say both teams are good teams, well coached teams, but I also think that that's a game where, and I just feel like you could just flip a coin and
yeah,
and pick it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I think I'm gonna lean a little bit more on Seattle
to win.
Yeah,
yeah. What's your reason?
It's the way they play. They're a really good team. They're not a bad team. They're a really good team. Their defense, and I get it. I don't want to look at the Miami game as why. I just think they're a really good team. Their defense. They got Metcalf, who's like a machine.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Right, they have that like running game where it's like
they do. They got,
everybody could run.
They got a good running back,
right?
Yeah, they got two good running
backs.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
So I could see Seattle winning this game. I could see Seattle going 4-0. And I do. I mean, does it happen? I don't know, but
yeah. I mean,
that's who I pick. I pick Seattle.
It's hard. It's hard to really like jump on either of these teams and think that they're
except
like
Detroit.
You know, top caliber. Like I don't see them as top caliber teams, but I do. You know, people would be like, oh, yeah, why? How do you not look at Detroit because of what they did last year? Well, I mean, because it's a new year. I don't know. I'm just, that's just my opinion. But I think I need to watch a few more games from these teams to kind of figure them out. I feel like I don't have them figured out yet.
The only thing is it's Detroit. So to me, Detroit loves this stuff. Like they love being the underdog, and they love like you know what I mean.
Well,
like,
they always
like
are
last year, right? Well, I mean, and now year. And I don't know if you're following other sports or not, but like the Tigers like pushed to get into the playoffs. Like they're in the Detroit Tigers for baseball. Like did everything they could to win out
wow,
and
two
get
baseball
into
references
right.
In one.
So no, but I mean like now you got the Lions sitting there going. Do you believe in cities gelling? Like when it like multiple sports in the city, when sports starting to like football and baseball go together. Right, football and hockey go together, basketball. You know what I mean? When teams within the same city are both going in the right direction.
Are championship teams in multiple
sports? But are they gelling off each other? Are they feeding off each other, right? Where it's like, okay, Tigers are in playoffs, guys. So, like, let's make sure we're winning for the city, too. I mean, but do you believe in that? Like, when the city within itself?
Yeah, maybe.
If
yeah,
like one team's doing good, like, the other one wants to make sure they're there and energy.
Energy is an interesting thing. I agree. you can say something about energy and how it can lift you. And if your city is lifted, then yeah, maybe
that's what I mean, right? And it's possible. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Like, the city's lifted now because, like, Detroit Tigers made the playoffs, yeah. And the Lions want to make sure they're going. And it's like, so then you can see it, like, they're becoming this team now where it's like, as long as the Tigers are going, we're going, and it's Detroit. Mean, they're always out, right? They're always been like, been like out. Beginning of the season, not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Except for the Lions this year because of last year. But I still don't see the Lions doing the same.
You're not a believer quite yet.
Not the same as last year. Yeah. I don't see it. And we'll see. If they go now 2-2.
Yeah, prove us wrong.
Prove us wrong.
Which a lot of teams will try to do that. Prove us wrong.
Prove us wrong.
And they probably will.
So I got a couple of interesting stats for you.
Okay.
So we're going to go back to a couple of the games. So one stat is the record. What do you think the record is without, so Mike McDaniels, the coach of the Miami Dolphins, with and without Tua? So now Tua's been hurt for twice now, right? For 2 years.
Yeah.
Been like two, like not last year. Last year he played a full season, but the year before, right?
Okay.
So Mike McDaniels' record, okay, with Tua,
right,
20-11.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good record.
Yeah.
Right. 20-11.
700%.
Right. I don't know. So it's better than 50. Right. So percentage? Really good record.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is gonna be my point where he can't adapt.
Yeah.
Mike McDaniel's record without Tua, 1-7.
Oof. 1-7. Yeah, I guess that's enough games to say. You know, you need that guy, and the coach isn't adapting. When not he's adapting, not there.
And that's my point from earlier. Was that's not a good record?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, they need the guy back, obviously.
Yep.
I mean,
or he
becomes a better coach.
Become a better coach. Be a coach while you're a coach. Anyway, Bills and Ravens coming up. Big game. We talked about that.
Yep.
The Bills and Ravens played 11 games. In their span.
Okay.
Okay. Record. Who's winning? Who has
the winning?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting that I don't know this one. I feel like it would be the Ravens would have the winning record against Buffalo. Is that right?
They do. Yeah, they do. But 6-5.
So
it's a 500 split.
All right. Well.
So pretty equal teams. So if you think about it, right? So everybody's like the Ravens, and the.
So they can be 500 after.
They could be not that dominant one. Yeah,
it could be.
And then the other stat I was going to bring to the table, but you already mentioned earlier was when we talked about Trevor Lawrence and how much money he's getting paid to be garbage. So.
Yeah, I really feel. I mean, I start to feel bad about for him now. I mean, I talked kind of bad about him, like you know, but it is what it is, and you know, you as an athlete, you have to prove, you know, and QB there's. Talk about being under a microscope. I mean, if you're not doing well, your team's obviously not going to do well because you need a QB that can then play well. I mean, all teams have to have a QB that can play.
Right. So I'm going to ask you this question. So I watched the game. I saw him. That was a horrible interception. Like, I was like, Jesus, you just threw it to you're better off to hand it off to the defensive
the guy
lineman.
The wrong route, though?
No, I mean, you're better off to give it to the defensive lineman. Say, hey, do you want this now? Because it's going to save me from throwing it 15 yards down the field directly to your player anyway. So here, just take it. But is it Trevor Lawrence or is it Doug Peterson?
Yeah,
Peterson, whatever. Is it Trevor Lawrence? Is it the coaching call and the play calling or is it a combination of both?
Well,
because something's not working.
I truly think it's a combination. Yeah. I just think that, you know, maybe players give up on coaches after they get.
I think they do. I actually think they do.
You know, and then you know who's going to go, though. I mean, Lawrence isn't going.
Oh, the coach is going.
The coach is going to go. So if he's on the hot seat and they don't win in the next couple weeks, then yeah, they're in trouble. Like, yeah, you always wonder who the first coach is going to go. Well, he's definitely top of the list right now.
If they go 0-4, he has to be top of the list.
Yeah, he would be. I mean, he probably already is now. I mean, you're not going to get
especially with all those expectations from the ownership beginning of the year.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know that all players are you know it just brings me to my you know extra point segue. It's all players want to you know get to the point of perfection, right? Everyone wants to be
in all positions
perfect in their position, yeah. And there's only one player in history that was perfect. It happened to be a kicker.
What do you mean?
Like, never missed a field goal, never missed an extra point, never missed a field goal in the playoffs. There's only been one player that actually had a perfect season.
Like, one season, though. Not been perfect in his whole career.
No, one season.
Like, one season perfect.
One season.
Never missed a field goal.
And never missed an extra point and never missed actually in the playoffs either.
Was he just a kicker or was he a punter too?
Just a kicker.
Interesting. Yeah. If this was $1 million question,
yeah.
If it was like true or false, for $1 million, what has a player ever had a perfect season kicking? I'd say no.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking generally.
Weather games? Yeah, like
you can't have a perfect season. Obviously, playing QB, certain positions you can't have a perfect season. But if there was one player that had a perfect season and it happened to be a kicker, it was Vanderjet. Do you remember that guy?
Really, I do.
With the Colts,
really?
Yeah, and I actually ran into him in person.
Okay, last week ran into somebody else in person too.
At Fortinos, because he got traded. He actually ended up with Dallas, and then his whole career went downhill from there.
So wait a minute, he was in Indy when he had the perfect season. Yep. Was he?
100%.
Was he there before Vinatieri or after Vinatieri? Didn't Vinatieri bounce from New England to...
He did. He actually came to Indy later in his career.
Who did? Vinatieri or...
Vinatieri.
Vinatieri, right.
Yeah, so he came... Like, Vanderjet was before Vinatieri.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I just find that amazing that a player was able to kick every single kick the whole season.
Weather permitting to... Now, in Indy, I get it because of a dome.
Yeah.
But away games, Indy plays a lot of teams that have... Yeah. Crap weather.
That guy was just dialed in.
Money.
Yeah.
In saying that, though, you could see a perfect season for like a running back if it was like never dropped the ball.
Like never fumbled?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't even think that happens.
I don't think so. There's no way.
Like they touch the ball so much that they're bound to fumble sooner or later.
Yeah.
They're, you know, your QB is always going to have an incompletion. Yeah. You know, I mean,
or fumble a snap.
Yeah, they talk about streaks, yeah. But they do the whole season.
It's impossible.
Yeah,
for a kicker, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, I know. I've
seen some pretty crappy snow games.
It's boring to talk about a kicker, but I just think it's interesting that.
But I like kickers, and I think the NFL today is getting away from point, and it drives me nuts.
Oh, you mean the whole kicking game itself?
Oh my God, it's all going for everything on fourth down.
Yeah,
get it, and Buffalo does too.
Do they?
Yeah, a lot, and I get it, but. The end of the day, points win games.
They do. I mean,
so like everybody goes for it.
There's certain coaches that are old school. Like they'll always be like, "Oh, I'm going to take the points."
Yeah,
right.
Of course,
I'm going to kick the field goal because this is the easiest points I'm going to get. And then there's coaches like Philly who just like I'm going to just go for it on every single fourth down because they can't stop the the bum rush or whatever the heck it is that they call.
I get it when it's fourth and one. Okay, I'll give you that. Right, fourth and inches.
But they do it on fourth and seven.
Exactly, fourth and eight, fourth and ten. I'm like Jesus, guys. And
take your points.
But I get if you're down. Yes, if you're down a couple touchdowns, you got to go for it. You have no chance. Yeah. Or not even two touchdowns.
The analytics would show that makes sense to go for it. Yeah.
But like nobody's kicking field goals anymore, except for some games or field goal games. But it just drives me crazy where all of a sudden the points don't matter. It's like. 3 points. You go 3 points or 3 points.
3 points is like. No, I mean, it's a half a touchdown.
It's half a touchdown. It's half a touchdown. It's half a touchdown.
And then guess what? The seven is the extra point.
That's a good way to put it, guys. It's half a touchdown.
Some coaches just talk like that.
Or even if you're the kicker and you come off the field, guys, it's half a touchdown. I got half a touchdown.
I should get paid more.
I just got half a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's actually funny. That's actually really funny. It's. I never ever would have guessed. A kicker had a perfect season.
Yeah, so...
And if I would have guessed, I would have named, I totally forgot about that guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's not many kickers in the Hall of Fame. I think there's two.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I can only think of one. I don't know the other guy. They do get the grunt of this. Mort Anderson. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he had the...
Yeah, the one bar.
The one bar. Yeah.
Because he never had a tackle, I guess. Yeah. Or maybe he probably had one tackle.
They do get the short end of the stick, the
but
kickers.
But the other... I can't remember his name, but...
The kicker for Seattle.
I think it was really old.
For Cincy's really good. What's his name? When? McPherson or whatever.
There's a lot of good kickers in the league.
They don't get credit, though.
There's no... I mean, and I'm not just pointing out Dallas, but Dallas's kicker is... He's off the charts. Audrey. He came from Toronto FC, and the dude kicks 60-yard field goals like he's...
But do you find that now,
like
though?
It's nothing.
They're all kicking this like nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you got to wonder about what that's all about.
Like, they're starting
to... Is there some kind of... Training
better.
Program that these guys go in now that allows them to kick.
Yeah, the
further.
Soccer players. They're pulling up all soccer players in.
They probably look all over the globe.
That's what I mean.
Find these guys and just boot the ball. Because
they're kicking. Like, there's Australia.
But accuracy too, though.
There's an Australian player. Man, you ever see a soccer player kick a ball?
No, I know.
He could go
they're
right
the
in
most
that
accurate,
most accurate thing in the world.
Sure, yeah.
So It's just, to me, they're starting to, it's becoming easy. Before, it was a 60-yard field goal was a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? 60-yard field goal. Oh, my God. Everybody's like.
Yeah, they've become, like, it's kind of weird. It's because, I mean, it's called football, but they become weapons.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe the kickers need to say, like, look, I just got a half a touchdown. They should say it more. I just got a half a touchdown. How many half
Guys, we won by half a touchdown.
There's games where that's all there is field goals. Yeah. Like, come on.
I just think it's becoming easier for them. Easier and easier. Like, they're just, it's like easy.
I'm paying attention, put it that way. I find it, same. The kicking game, a little more interesting than I ever thought it would be.
And then even when they're punting, they could land that ball.
Oh, yeah.
They drop it, like, right where,
coffin corners or whatever they call them.
Like, last time I kicked the football, I'm just going. I don't know where it's going. It's just going. I'm just
you're not thinking about
direction. I'm just kicking it. Right? I'm just kicking it. But I think kickers, punt. I don't think they get the credit, because every time if they miss it, kicker.
Like, I know, right? Because the rest of the players, you know, you want, like, I love how, like, the team rallies around kickers and stuff, but you wonder, like, they always say
no
that
respect for a kicker. Well,
you're not really a football player.
How much could a kicker make? You know? You don't see a kicker holding out.
No.
My contract year is up. I'm going to hold out.
Yeah, they hold out. And next. Like, we're just going to get another kicker.
Exactly.
And we don't even care if he's crap.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's actually amazing how we have this whole bit on kickers right now.
Yes. Sorry, fans.
Because I never would have had a conversation on kickers, but I think
that's
important.
Why it's called extra points.
Right, but it's an important part of the game. It is.
It's huge. And
I think they don't get the credit they should.
Well, think about how many games come down to, like, when you're going to win a game.
You win by field goal.
And the game
Kansas
close.
City won a lot of games by field goals.
You win by field goals. Yeah.
Kansas City won a lot of their games by field goals. Yeah. Cincinnati, the year they were won a lot of games by field goals.
Yep.
You win by field goals.
They paid
goals.
Him because he wins games by field goals, the Kansas City kicker. Yeah. You know?
That's so amazing. Yeah. That's pretty cool extra point, Dave.
I'll come up with a better one next time.
That's a good one. Okay, so
I'm done
got,
for kicking for the rest of the season.
So I got a few stuff from last week. So I made some mistakes last week.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I made some mistakes.
That's so unlike you.
It's okay. I'm allowed to make a few.
I don't think anyone noticed.
But I did. So okay. I'm gonna crack. So last week I mentioned at the beginning, we talked about entry music for college football, because we played
War Pigs.
Yep. And I said, pretty cool. And I said, one of the universities come out with Metallica.
Yeah.
Enter Sandman. I said, I think it was West Virginia, but it's not. It's Virginia Tech.
Oh, well, you got the V in there.
I did. But if you ever have a chance, watch it.
Okay. I'll give it a go.
Watch on YouTube. It's pretty cool when, like, 100,000 students start standing up and pronouncing. Cool. It's pretty cool. I also mentioned last week Josh Allen's a farmer, which he is.
Oh, okay.
But we weren't sure what he was a farming of.
Yeah, yeah.
I said potatoes.
Yep.
I was close. It starts with a P. Okay.
Oh, okay. Pea farmer?
Are you ready?
No. Okay, no.
Pistachios.
Pistachios.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. Josh Allen is pistachio strong.
Wow.
So
that's pretty strong.
So I guess his family farm was like cantaloupes, cotton, and wheat, and they swapped it all for pistachios. Wow. I thought potatoes, which to me would have been a little cooler because big bags, heavy potatoes, he's strong. Yeah. But
pistachios are tasty.
Pistachios. Yeah, pretty good. they are tastier. And then I mentioned the Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator came from Baltimore as a defensive coordinator last year.
Right.
Anthony Weaver.
Yep.
Incorrect. Anthony Weaver came as a defensive lineman coach.
Okay.
So I got that one wrong.
So they're just stealing everyone from the Ravens then. Because McDonald.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I guess that's a good thing too.
Maybe that's why the Ravens
defense. We never talked about it. Exactly. You know, you start getting gutted, a few coaches here and there.
Yeah, man. Coaching.
And I think it's hard for some of these players to learn a system that quick.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean,
because you could do it through practice all day long until you get into the game.
Yep.
Right? So I think that's it too. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. You know what? It's a good one. Never really talked about that one.
All right.
Okay, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay, we're out. See you next week.